Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host here on Authentic News. RBN, this 27th day of September, live. I got three cases that illustrate the Democrats, politicians, judges, DAs, have no respect for the law, could care less about the Constitution, that the promise of equal justice under law, which has been the great pride of the United States that has distinguished us from other nations. Rich, poor, black, white, Republican, Democrat, we're all supposed to receive equal justice under law. Well, here are three nice illustrations contradicting that claim. A judge has ruled that Trump committed fraud by overvaluing his property in order to secure better loan rates at a time when the banks were competing for Trump's business, when Trump has paid back all the loans with interest. Here's Mike Davis tweeting, what a joke. A Democrat New York attorney general and a Democrat judge simply ruled Trump committed fraud. No trial, no jury for the non-fraud of Trump paying back sophisticated Wall Street banks in full with interest. Democrat lawfare. Appellate courts must reverse. Just to demonstrate how outrageous this is. Eric and Donald Trump have both protested. What's going on here? It's just ridiculous. Here's one of Eric's tweets. Today I lost all faith in New York legal system. Never before have I seen such hatred toward one person by a judge. A coordinated effort with the attorney general to destroy a man's life, company, and accomplishments. We have run an exceptional company, never missing a loan. More, Eric. These homes are about 1/30th the size of Mar-a-Lago, not on the beach, let alone the beach and intercoastal, don't span from one side of the Palm Beach Island to the other. It's a travesty of justice and an embarrassment to the court. They claim Mar-a-Lago has a value of $18 million. Well, here are these much smaller nearby properties. 101 Jungle Avenue, Palm Beach, $59,950,000. Here's 500 Regent Park Road, $40 million. Here's 7 La Costa Way, $39.9 million. Here's 550 Island Drive, Palm Beach, $39 million. These are all properties in the vicinity that would be comparable if you wanted to make an assessment of the value. You take them into account and recognize that Mar-a-Lago has a value probably in excess of $300 million. Here's Donald Trump Jr. Yes. But Mar-a-Lago with 10 times the land, ocean frontage, and one of the most spectacular homes in the world is worth only $18 million because the judge wants it to be so for his narrative. Our legal system has been commandeered by radicals hell-bent on destroying America, no doubt. For reference, this is from Taylor Budwich. Here's a patch of trees down the road from the historic Mar-a-Lago property on a lot that a fraction of its site going for $150 million. This is an undeveloped lot. It has no home, no property. It's a tiny, tiny little speck of land compared to Mar-a-Lago. And it's going for $150 million. And yet this judge has a nerve to claim Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million because it fits his narrative. If you think that's a grotesque abuse of the law, get this. Trial wrapped up in Carrie Lake's lawsuit to view ballot signature affidavits from Maricopa County. Judge allows none of her witnesses or exhibits. Can you believe? I'm gagging. A lawsuit Carrie Lake filed over Maricopa County's refusal to let her use public record law to inspect ballot affidavits with her signature from voters on the mail-in envelope for their ballots, entered after a two-day trial Monday. Maricopa County Superior Judge George John Hanna was appointed to the bench by Democrat Governor Janet Napolitano, refused to let any of Blake's several proposed witnesses testify or allow any of her exhibits into evidence. This is grotesque. This is what the Democrats are doing to destroy our legal system. I know, up close and personal, I was sued over my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which has 13 contributors, including six PhDs, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it had been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. The book entitled Nobody Died at Sandy Hook was put on sale by Amazon on 22 October 2015 and then banned by 19 November after selling nearly 500 copies. Absolutely outrageous. I was sued for having a death certificate at the plaintiff himself, who calls himself Noah Posner, and published on a blog that no file number, no town or state certification, meaning it was an incomplete death certificate, where by Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have incomplete death certificates. During the course of the trial, I had introduced the reports of two forensic document experts, both of whom substantiated my position in the case. The judge systematically excluded my evidence from the beginning. Indeed, he ruled at the scheduling conference that evidence of whether or not Sandy Hook had been real was not relevant to the question of the authenticity of the death certificate, even though the death certificate claimed it was for a decedent who died at Sandy Hook of multiple gunshot wounds. How absurd is that? In Wisconsin, they have a procedure that allows a judge to set aside evidence if he considers it to be unreasonable. He thereby was able to manufacture a situation where a summary judgment, which should only properly take place if there are no disputed facts, and only the law needs to be applied. We were outrageously at odds with the Court of Appeals, even reinforced the absurdity of the case by declaring in virtual consecutive paragraphs that there were no disputed facts, stating Posner's view, 20 children and six adults died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012, killed by Adam Lanza, then followed by mine. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control where nobody died. I mean, how absurd is this? And when I took it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because this was such a gross denial of my right to a trial by jury, where juries are entrusted to decide the facts of the case, but where Wisconsin has this perverse procedure that allows a judge to exclude evidence he considered to be unreasonable. Not only did the Wisconsin Supreme Court uphold it, but when I went to the United States Supreme Court, because it involved this crucial question about the right to a trial by jury and equal justice under law across all the states, in other words, 7th and 14th Amendment, where state of the nation declared my case perhaps the single most important case brought before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, the Supreme Court denied my petition for a writ. And even when I sought for a rehearing on the issue, including additional evidence I had acquired in the meanwhile, such as the Connecticut FEMA's agenda showing that the exercise for Sandy Hook was right on their schedule, where they even provided a map of how to get from their office down to the school in Newtown, and where a private detective by the name of Brian Davidson had got into the state police files the Connecticut State Police files and discovered photographs that contradicted the official narrative, such as a hallway where there was supposed to be two bodies, a school principal and the school psychologist, in pools of blood, and found no bodies, no blood, another inside a classroom where there was supposed to be a stack of little kids' bodies. No little kids' bodies, no little kid blood. There weren't even any little kid desks or chairs, nor a teacher desk or chairs. And all the furniture was shoved up against the wall. I submitted that to the United States Supreme Court, even though it demonstrates not only was Sandy Hook not a mass murder, it also demonstrates Sandy Hook was closed. And it turns out, as I learned from being in interaction with members who participated in the event, one had been cast as a little girl who died, Emily Parker, the other a teacher who supposedly had died heroically, Vicky Soto. I learned, in fact, the school had been closed in 2006. That wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school, which can be very simply confirmed by just looking at aerial photos and noticing it's missing something. No elementary school could be without a playground. It wasn't even an elementary school. I mean, just outrageous. So what's happened to law and order has been weaponized by the Democrats. Barack Obama, Eric Holder all played key roles. This is absolute nonsense. I cannot believe how destructive this is of Americans' confidence in America, the very idea epitomized by the concept of equal justice under law. No. If you have ideas or thoughts or a course of action that the Democrats like, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be sailing home. If you have an agenda in opposition, if you want to run for the highest office in the land, they're going to take you out a dozen different ways. They're going to smear you with a whole lot of baseless lawsuits that have no foundation in law or fact, illustrated to a T by this one, with a completely inappropriate estimate of the value. Clearly, they didn't consult any real estate expert who would have said, this is ridiculous. This is an extremely valuable property. Demonstrate instantly that it had no basis. And in Arizona, of course, they can't allow Carrie Lake to present evidence, because it was massive fraud across the board, not just in Arizona. They're worried the dominoes are going to start to fall. If Carrie Lake had been successful, and of course I'm exposing these sham school shootings run by the Obama administration where Eric Holder was out in front, and according to my sources, came down to Newtown and in 2006 offered the community $140 million to participate in this hoax on the American people. The residents of the town who didn't want to be involved moved out of Newtown, where they actually had rehearsals, auditions for roles, and where those who partook don't pay taxes and get free college and have signed non-disclosure agreements. That's a pathetic state of law and order in the United States today. And could it be worse? Well, how about using the legal system to protect a president who's overwhelmingly corrupt and where evidence grows every single day? Here's a new report from the Daily Wire. $260,000 in Chinese wires to Hunter Biden was at Joe Biden's home as the beneficiary address. Get this. President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, allegedly received wires sent from inside communist China for more than $250,000 in 2019. That was at Joe Biden's home in Delaware as the address for the beneficiary of the money. Two wires were sent to Hunter in the summer of 2019. One was for $10,000, sent in July of 2019. The second for $250,000 in August of 2019. Is the Department of Justice investigating? Absolutely not. The Department of Justice is functioning as though it were the conciliary to the Biden crime family, just as Tom Reagan was a conciliary to the Corleone crime family. It's that bad. Meanwhile, mass looting has spread to Democrat-run Philadelphia. Big city Democrats have essentially decriminalized crime. And now the mass looting, shoplifting that helped destroy Democrat-run cities like San Francisco, Beverly Hills, Portland, Seattle, and Chicago has spread to Democrat-run Philadelphia. Yep. Now the city of brotherly love is getting what it voted for. Several stores in Philadelphia were looted by more than 100 juveniles Tuesday night, according to police. The Foot Locker and Apple stores near 15th and Chestnut, and the Lululemon store in Center City were all looted, according to NBC 10. Multiple videos of the looting were posted on social media and show police officers trying to arrest people while windows are smashed and items are stolen. The excuse for all this? A Philly judge dropped the manslaughter charge against a cop who shot a driver. Body cam showed the driver was holding a knife. The officer said he only saw the knife back handle and believed it was a gun. The defense said the charges should have been filed. The judge agreed. Should never have been filed. The judge agreed. And the mostly peaceful looting began. Yes. Remember the summer of love where Nancy Pelosi was telling us when stores were going up in flames? That was mostly peaceful. Remember, too, as I previously reported, I put this article up on my Twitter account, @JimFetzer. The U.S. has the third highest murder rate in the world, but if you remove Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and Philadelphia, U.S. is then 189th out of 193 countries in the world. All five cities have strict gun control laws and are controlled by Democrats. Fact check that. You want the source? Go to my Twitter account, @JimFetzer, and you'll find it. Meanwhile, turning to international affairs, Seymour Hersh has revealed the motive for the Nord Stream sabotage attack. 1 year on, he's doing worthy research, investigation in the highest traditions of journalism, which are being satisfied by virtually no one else. On a one-year observance of the September 26, 2022 Nord Stream pipeline sabotage, Seymour Hersh has provided more context and color based on his intel sources. It's fairly extensive. Good discussion. It boils down to this. All of this explains why a routine question I pose a month or so after the bombing of someone with many years in the intel community led me to a truth. No one in America, Germany wants to attack. Right back.
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Seymour Hersh updating and broadening his explanation of what happened with the Nord Stream pipeline. Many of you will have heard my explanation that if Germany and Russia became very tight economically and commercially, as was inevitable, given that Germany would become the economic powerhouse, even greater than before, benefiting from cheap Russian gas, and Russia, of course, would be benefiting from all the sales, it would be obvious that NATO is an anachronism, that it's worn out its usefulness, that there's no need to support a defense alliance against a former Soviet Union in the case of Russia, because economic and commercial transactions were now so cordial, which would mean that Europe would need to keep buying the expensive military equipment, planes and tanks and artillery from the American military industrial complex, which feared it was going to lose its profits. Hence, Nord Stream bombing and the like. According to Hersh, the Biden administration blew up the pipeline, but its action had little to do with winning or stopping the war in Ukraine. It resulted from fears in the White House that Germany would waver and turn on the flow of Russian gas, and that Germany and then NATO, for economic reasons, would fall under the sway of Russia and its extensive and inexpensive natural resources. And this followed the ultimate fear that America would lose its long-standing primacy in Western Europe. But actually, that explanation is more general and vague than my own. So I suggest they can both be true, but that what I have said about the role of the military-industrial alliance losing its major profit motive out of Europe is absolutely crucial to understanding what happened. Meanwhile, we have Scott Ritter doing an interview about what actually happened, and this is definitely worth hearing. Let me pull it up. You're going to hear from Scott Ritter, who's sensational.
In Russia, can you give us some insight to what's actually going on the front line that kind of pushes back against this narrative from Anthony Blinken, from Zelensky? Because I keep on believing they keep on saying, like, oh, we've captured this town. And I'm not sure because I can't, my Ukrainian is not up to par, but it seems like they're doing the same thing when they said, oh, we killed the number two ISIS leader. I'm like, I thought you did that like three times. I think like sometimes they're saying they're recapturing these small towns, these small pockets, like, oh, they already recaptured that. You're repeating it again to make it sound like Ukraine is actually having success and is counteroffensive. Go ahead.
Well, first thing we have to understand is this counteroffensive has been months in the planning. Back in October, General Zaluzhny, the senior commander of Ukrainian forces, went to what's called the Ramstein Contact Group in Ramstein to make a pitch for billions of dollars more. Because remember, the United States already provided that initial tranche of $45 billion back in May, but built a Ukrainian military of 80,000 that launched this counteroffensive against Kharkiv and the Kherson region. And they were somewhat successful, but they were all killed. Wounded, destroyed, gone. Whatever was left of them died in Bakhmut during the fighting in March, April, and May of this year. Very violent fighting. He said he needed 300 tanks, 500 infantry fighting vehicles, 500 artillery pieces, unlimited ammunition, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of debate in NATO who's going to provide what, da, da, da. But the bottom line is NATO did pony up this equipment. And NATO did train around 37,000 Ukrainian forces outside of NATO that were then outside of Ukraine that were then brought back in. Another 20,000 were trained inside Ukraine to man this equipment. So that's about 60,000 troops. In addition to that, in the vicinity of Bakhmut, where that heavy fighting was, Ukraine built up another 8 brigades worth another 40,000 troops to launch an attack there. So 100,000 Ukrainians were mobilized specifically for this counteroffensive. The counteroffensive began around June 4th. The main axis of advance was in southern Zaporizhia. On your map, it's where the box is. That little blue pocket at the top there is in the vicinity of a village called Robotino. Now, that blue pocket's actually interesting because all that blue pocket represents is low ground. Now, imagine the brain terrain surrounding it. That's all high ground. So what the Russians did is build defensive barriers in that blue ground, consisting of minefields, trenches, ambushes, etc. And then on the high ground, they dug in their main defensive line. So the Ukrainians have spent the last 3 months dying in the low ground, rushing into the Russian minefields, getting blown up, getting slaughtered. And Bakhmut is doing the same thing. That's
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Scott Ritter, who's one of the voices you can trust about the Ukraine war, goes on to explain that the counteroffensive never even penetrated the first of four lines of defense the Russians had constructed. And confirmed by report of yesterday from Seymour Hersh, the war is over. Ukraine lost. Russia won. But the intel sources don't want it to be acknowledged. Meanwhile, we have a bizarre event in Canada. The Speaker of the Parliament is now apologizing for having led the Parliament to celebrate an individual who was present there. It turned out to be a former Waffen FS soldier. In other words, a bona fide Nazi, not just a neo-Nazi, a bona fide Nazi. The Speaker of Canada's Parliament has issued an apology after heaping praise on a former Waffen FS soldier, leading to the individual being feted with applause in the chamber by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau last week. Speaker Anthony Rota introduced 98-year-old Yaroslav Hunka during a special session at Parliament Hill Friday, attended by Ukrainian President Zelensky, describing Ukrainian-born Canadian hero Hunka as one who had fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians in the Second World War. Having done so, the chamber came to its feet, including Zelensky and Trudeau, and gave sustained applause with whooping cheers. The guy himself has actually published photographs of himself in his Nazi uniform. Remember, even though the Holocaust was fabricated and 6 million Jews did not die, millions did, including anywhere from 12 to 20 million Russians because of Hitler's invasion. It was a god-awful mess and a catastrophe for Europe. Meanwhile, Starlink, which of course is owned by Elon Musk, has lost over 200 satellites in 2 months. This suggests that space warfare is already taking place. Starlink, a satellite constellation operated by aerospace company SpaceX, lost 212 satellites in the period spanning July 18th and September 18th. Data compiled by Satellite Map Space shows the number of burned up satellites steadily increased over the past 3 years, but a significant spike was observed starting in the month of July. You may recall, Musk refused to let his satellites be used for military operation to spy on Russian forces for Ukraine. Well, I believe it had already been used for that purpose. And what you're seeing is satellite being taken down as a consequence. Meanwhile, some citizens seem to have figured out what's going on here. We have picket lines in congressional offices over the looming threat of nuclear war. Activists from around the country have begun a week of protests to demand the U.S. government take steps to address the looming threat of nuclear war. The picket lines, vigils, and other demonstrations are calling for reinstatement of nuclear arms control treaties from which the United States has withdrawn in this century, a shutdown of hair-trigger land-based ICBMs, and genuine diplomatic efforts to end the war in Ukraine. Well, those are noble thoughts, but you're going to get none of that, none of that from the Biden administration. Blaze has a nice piece. Who the hell does Mark Milley think he is? This guy has proven to be one of the most ineffectual mediocrities to ever occupy the office of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Mark Milley is leaving the U.S. Army, and it's about time, way past time, in fact. The departing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff embodied and exemplified the worst of the so-called deep state. He is a careerist who rationalized his service to the interests of an out-of-touch and unaccountable establishment as a principled commitment to the Constitution and the traditional American way of life, which, of course, is nonsense. He did us no good. He's gone at the end of the month. They're getting him out fast, quite likely because of the collapse of Ukraine. Meanwhile, there's a very significant telling piece about the Great Reset. Listen to this. It'll give you the idea. And you can follow up the link for much, much more. The Great Reset reads like a globalist plot with some plot holes. Will happen fast. You won't be warned. You'll either be ready in advance or you'll be subject to whatever crisis unfolds. Whether it be a collapse of the banks, an economic collapse, a war, or all three is anybody's guess, but it will be the world's largest economic event in history, and it will be catastrophic. Meanwhile, and this is all the same theme, the United States is in the throes of a total financial collapse, followed by, and this, of course, is a theological interpretation, the mark of the beast, as Jeffrey Brather explains. I don't buy the theology, but I sure buy the reality. The United States is on the brink of a total collapse. Meanwhile, we have more reports about the Maui fire having been man-made. And they're so upset about this, they're actually switching around the links. So if you go there, you'll see a fighter. I see now. It's a UFC fighter causes an outcry by speaking the obvious truth that the Maui fire was man-made. Meanwhile, Biden has changed his southern border game plan. the Biden admin announced Wednesday. A new measure that would allow nearly 500,000 Venezuelans currently in the United States to get work permits. Many Democrats and immigrant advocates have been pushing the federal government to take action that would enable migrants and asylum seekers to get access to work permits faster. But what does that do to the earlier migrants who hold those jobs? They're going to be willing to work for lower amounts of money. They're going to undercut them. This is among the reasons why minorities, black and Hispanic alike, are moving to the right. They're supporting Trump. He locked down the border. He protected them. They saw their wages, which were among the lowest in the country, rising at the highest rate because of what Donald Trump had done for them. Get this. If you want to hear something absolutely horrifying, Biden regime gives Christian family that fled Ukraine 15 years ago 4 weeks. 4 weeks to self-deport. The Biden regime has reportedly given a conservative Christian family that's lived in the U.S. for 15 years 4 weeks to self-deport back to Germany. The Romalek family fled to the U.S. from Germany in 2008 because homeschooling is illegal there. And the German government had fined them roughly $9,000 for homeschooling their children. Uwe Romalek, the father of seven, works as a piano accompanist at Carson Newman University, a private Baptist school in Jefferson City, Tennessee. Their application for asylum said they were fined by the German government roughly $9,000 after homeschooling their country. In an interview on Fox News 9 years ago, UWE said he and his wife also feared they could lose custody of their children because they chose to homeschool. Well, they don't fit the Biden agenda, so they're being deported. But you won't hear any of these muggers, these rapists, these fentanyl dealers are welcoming in and giving $2,200 a month. You won't hear any of them being deported because they're on the Biden team. Meanwhile, we're getting protests here and there. Outraged protesters block bus carrying migrants on Staten Island. You're not welcome. Listen to this, New York Post. Outraged Staten Island residents took to the street Tuesday night to physically block the arrival of an MTA bus carrying asylum seekers to a newly converted shelter, a move that Mayor Eric Adams called ugly, even as over 100,000 migrants have been shipped to the Big Apple since last year. A group of unruly protesters captured on video, wailing and banging on the sides of the bus, halted traffic just before 10 a.m. after intercepting the bus, which was headed to the former Staten Shores Senior Assisted Living Facility. I mean, after all, this was a predictable problem from this open border policy. How was the government going to house and feed these people? They could care less. The ultimate plan? They're going to give them our homes, your home, my home. We're not going to be around much longer, mind you. That is part of their agenda. Have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, second smartest guy in the world reports, U.S. government data confirms, get this, 143,233% increase in deadly cancer cases due to the COVID vax. I dare say, I've yet to confirm this, but a dear friend of mine, my closest friend for 20 years, died 2 years ago of a very rare kind of brain cancer that was incurable. I will bet money he got the vax. He and I had a falling out over my conspiracy research, of which he disapproved. But I think he may have paid the ultimate price for buying in a lot of bullshit. Meanwhile, Ralph Nader, and if you've ever had questions about Ralph, these are not going to be reassuring, wary of Trump, offers help to help Joe Biden win. There was a time when I thought Ralph Nader was a good guy. He had a book about the Corvair, which had the engine mounted in the rear, unsafe at any speed. Ironically, and this has to be maybe 30 years ago, my wife and I were on an interstate. There was a Corvair ahead, and I was just explaining to her how Ralph Nader had published a book about how the engine tends to fall out of these cars. And as the words were leaving my lips, the engine fell out of the car. Thank goodness I'd already anticipated passing. There wasn't any problem. There were lots of sparks as the car moved over to the side of the road, but it was unbelievable. Hillary, meanwhile, relieves the Russian interference claim for 2024. Count on her. She is nothing if not consistent in her lies. Outrageous. Hillary Clinton is at it again. In a sit-down interview Sunday with former Biden spokeswoman Jen Psaki, the former first lady warned Russia's Vladimir Putin could again try to influence the U.S. election in 2024 and tied Putin to a kind of creeping fascism almost of people in the U.S. who are really ready to turn over their thinking, their votes, to wannabe dictators, which, of course, is supposed to be a covert reference to Donald Trump. There wasn't any Russian interference. There wasn't any Russian hacking. In fact, we know Seth Rich, who died as a consequence, downloaded files from the DNC because he was outraged on how Bernie Sanders was being treated. 13 of the primaries Bernie had won being shifted into Hillary's column to guarantee she'd be the candidate for the 2016 race. He released that information and he paid for it with his life. Meanwhile, RFK Jr. just received an endorsement from a rock legend that is driving the woke left wild. Democrat candidate RFK Jr. had been both ignored and maligned by Democrats and their media allies, despite his family's unmatched legacy within the Democrat Party. His sins were questioning the COVID regime, the war in Ukraine, and the deep state's reckless pursuit of Donald Trump, and supporting fundamental human rights like freedom of speech. Well, guess this. Kennedy just received a major boost after rock legend Eric Clapton announced his support for the Democratic candidate. Many of us who recognize that Donald Trump's greatest weakness relates to the vax in Operation Warp Speed would welcome Bobby running as his VP nominee, which would an end to any speculation about where he may stand, where I myself, as enthusiastic as I am about Trump, believes he needs to come clean and admit it was a colossal blunder. Meanwhile, the conservative Treehouse reports threats continue against the Rumble video platform. The background players seem interestingly connected. Sundance. The British tabloid The Sun came out with another story against the Rumble video platform today, receiving considerable condemnation for the threats and implications that appear to be coordinated by the Murdoch Network. The original sketchy hit against Russell Brand came from the Murdoch-owned publication of the Sunday Times. The British Parliament then weighed in, demanding that Rumble deplatform, censor, or demonize Mr. Brand. The Sun is now claiming Rumble will be regulated by UK media watchdog Ofcom under the new online safety bill, which was approved by Parliament last week and is due to become law next month. Additionally, they claim failing to cooperate with Ofcom could put Rumble executives at risk of arrest if visiting Britain, it has been suggested. You know, as the UK wants to catch up with the US in terms of censoring the media, so no story is contrary to its interest will ever appear in the press. Meanwhile, and this is a rather interesting development, And I think all things considered, not overly surprising. Young Americans move toward a new kind of marriage. According to the Pew Research Center, the majority of those who are open marriage include young adults, the Democrats, LGBTQ, and those who live with a partner. We'll be right back.
Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a gentleman, I'll open up the doors. Help me.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You need is love. Get this. According to Pew Research Center, majority of people who are open to open marriages include young adults, the Democrats, LGBTQ plus persons, and those who live with a partner. Open marriage is defined as a marriage where each spouse agrees that their spouse can date or engage in sexual activity with other people. A poll, which was done with 5,073 people, between April 10th and 16th and released in September discovered that over half of younger adults age 18 to 29 say open relationships are acceptable. Young adults are most likely to agree, while older adults become less likely to agree as they get older. Notably, just 41% of respondents age 30 to 49, 26% age 50 to 64, and 15% of respondents 65 and above believe these marriages are appropriate. 70% of people 65 and older say these marriages are not acceptable. In general, Americans are less tolerant of open marriages. Just 33% think they are acceptable, while 50% thinks they are not. 16% say open marriage is neither good nor bad. Adults who identify themselves as lesbian, gay, or bisexual are more likely to support open marriage than heterosexuals. Among them, 75% deem them acceptable. Only 29% of heterosexuals share this sentiment. People who live with their partner but aren't married are also more likely to be okay with open marriage, 56%, as compared to individuals who've never tied the knot, 47%. On the other hand, 57% of adults who are married, 61% of those who are divorced, split, or widowed, say that open weddings are unacceptable. Among political affiliation, Democrats approve open marriage at a higher rate, 47%, than Republicans, only 20%. Democrats have a more mixed opinion, with 47% saying these kinds of marriages are okay, 36% saying they're not. It is not surprising. The majority of respondents in the survey report conservative Republicans, 74%, believe these marriages are inappropriate, while liberal Democrats, 63%, believe they are just fine. Let me, while we have a moment, see if I can get back to the boxer who was making his opinion about what happened. No chance. We'll be taking your calls when we come back.
Republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.